Hopefully when you came in this morning, you were able to pick up a sermon outline. You might like to take that out. If I asked you this morning to describe the world around you, would you describe it as a playground or as a battlefield? Now, a playground in the sense of life is easy, not many challenges in life, or being a bit of a battlefield that there are challenges for you every single day. How would you describe our world spiritually? Would you describe it as a playground? God blesses us every day. Life is easy. Following God is easy. Or is it more like a battlefield? We have the challenge of sin. The challenge of saying no to sin. Living for God, is it difficult or is it easy? Does God tell us that the world, our spiritual lives, as once we make a choice to love and follow Him, is a playground, that life will always be easy for us? Or does He say something else? During this series that we looked at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and today we're going to wrap up 2nd Corinthians, and next week we'll start a new series. I'm not going to give you a heads up yet exactly what that's going to be. You'll just have to turn up next week and find out what we're going to look at. But as we wrap it up, we've seen things that once we start to love and follow Jesus, we get into this relationship with God, we're part of His family again, we can only do that because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And we've touched on that and we've looked at that as Paul reminded the church at Corinth. We've seen that we are alive in Christ, that we are to have a life of joy and rejoicing, that we are a new creation because of what Christ has done. And when you think on top of that, all the beautiful songs that Kerry chose for today, just that reminder of who we are now, this new creation and what it looks like and everything that we have now in our relationship with God, all of those things we could praise God for. And I'm sure all of you praise God for them. But here's the challenge. Do you actually live like that every single day? Do you live as though you're a new creation? Do you live as though you have a new life? In other words, the life that you had before you came to Christ. Have you said no and don't live any of that anymore? Or does sin and other challenges still a part of our life? I think for many of us, we would say that the old life is still very much a part of today's life. Have you ever felt as a Christian, you know you're alive in Christ? You know you are to rejoice. You know you're a new creation. But sometimes you feel that's just for other believers. That it's just not your experience. Well, that goes to the question. Do you think our world, our spiritual world, is a playground? Or is it a battlefield? Verse 3 from what Kerry read earlier says this. For though we live in the world, and we'd all agree, we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Paul makes it clear we don't live in a playground. We actually live in a war zone. That when the choice when we make to love and follow Jesus, from that moment on, we're in this spiritual war. And Paul mentions this in different ways in multiple letters. And you know, probably the most famous is in Ephesians 6, where he talks about putting on the armor of God. It's something that we are to do every single day because every single day we're in a battlefield. So do you think for you and your life, is it a playground or is it a battlefield? A.W. Tozer said this. He believes that a vast majority of Christians believe that this world is a playground, not a battlefield. And so that when life becomes challenging, when sin is too hard to say no to, when the world around challenges Christians about their faith and following Jesus, their response to throw in the towel. Their response is to give up. Their response is not to listen to God anymore and to listen to the world. Why? Because he says if you believe the world is a playground, if you believe that God is going to make your life easy and that's all life is going to be, then how are you going to face the challenges? Who are you going to trust in the challenges? Who are you going to put your or get your strength from when you face your challenges? Is it a playground or a battlefield? Well, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he wants to remind them that they're in a battlefield, that they're in a war zone. But what does the war look like? Look again at verse 3. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Now, I'm always amazed when you see governments, particularly the big governments like America, other governments like Australia, they talk about spending billions and trillions of dollars on defense and military technology and all these great new gadgets and weapons to keep us safe, supposedly, to keep freedom going. But what's interesting when you look at those, when you look at when we go to the airport and they've got all the new systems set up and machines set up to try to, you know, stop terrorism and everything else and to keep us safe, when you think about all that technology, when you think about all the billions and so forth that are spent to keep us safe, you know, it's amazing that we have that. But in the war that Paul was talking about here in 2 Corinthians 10, all of that stuff, you know, it's amazingly useless. He says here, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. See, it's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's not a battle that's over land or oil or drugs or people trafficking or terrorism. It's not that type of war. It's a battle against lust. It's a battle against envy, idolatry, pride, selfishness, temptation, anger, hatred, discord, jealousy, immorality. That's the battle. The battle is over sin. And Paul says here, conventional weapons that we are used to, conventional weapons that are known to us, they can't help us in this war. Because the war, the spiritual battle, the battle for our hearts, the battle for our minds, the battle over sin and who do we listen to and who rules us, is a battle between God and Satan. And we know, you know, Satan is the father of lies, and Satan do everything he can to think for us as God's children, to think that he is powerless or he can't affect us or just to forget about him. But if we start to listen to the lies, if we start to think the false teachers and others are correct, just like the church at Corinth did, then Satan starts to win. So Paul writes to the church and he wants to remind them that life is not easy. For them, they felt that life was pretty easy. You know, they had the false teachers they were listening to. They were arguing against Paul. They were saying Paul was just sharing the gospel and going to churches that had more money than they did. You know, they were turning their back on God. And they were happy to do so. And Paul said, remember. Remember, you think life is easy, but you're in this spiritual battle. Are they going to survive the battle? Or will they throw the towel in? You know, sometimes in talking to Christians who are struggling in life, they look at the world, they look at sin, and they think it's all too hard. You know, Paul describes being in the war zone, fighting back. And people will say, Stephen, it's too hard. All we have to do, or all we can do, is pray that Jesus returns now and we'll just sit in the corner in the fetal position and just wait for that to happen. Because there's nothing we can do as Christians in our world. And when you hear comments like that, they're throwing in the towel. You know, they're starting to, in a sense, give up on God, give up on God's word. They're starting to think there cannot be any victory until Jesus returns. Now that's the ultimate victory. But how do we live as we await that day? And do we live in a world where we think we may as well, like the church at Corinth, just throw in the towel, give up? Or is there another way to live? Paul challenges them to realize the world, this is a war of the worlds. It's not a playground. It's not an easy life, but a spiritual battle every day. Verse 4 again, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul calls the church at Corinth to fight back. He says you should be, from the moment you start to love and follow Jesus, you're in this spiritual battle. You're in this war, and now you're on God's side. You need to be in the fight. Don't turn your back on God. Don't walk away from God. Don't think that God has been beaten or anything like that. Fight back, says Paul. Be in the fight. You see, we're not just called to wait for Jesus to come back. We have what it says here, the divine power to demolish strongholds. This whole picture of a stronghold, I'm sure you can have in your mind the image of castles or forts. You know, they have strong foundations. They look immovable. They look unbreakable. And that's how Paul is describing what's happening in the lives of the church at Corinth. That they have these strongholds in their lives, whether it's sin, whether it's something else. And it is something that they look at and think, we cannot let go of it. We cannot say no to sin. We cannot break whatever it is we need to break. These strongholds, if we try to deal with it ourselves, they're immovable. They're unbreakable. But Paul says you have the divine power to fight back. You can demolish them. You've got to be in the fight, says Paul. I mean, look at verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The strongholds he's talking about are anything in our lives, anything in their lives that would replace God. Anything that would stop them growing in their faith. Anything that would stop their spiritual progress. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a problem in their life. Maybe it's something that's happened in the past that they cannot let go of. And their whole mental energy, their whole emotional life is so focused on that that they can't actually be the people that God wants them to be. Now, we talked earlier and said in this series, we've seen we are a new creation. We are a new life. Paul writes to them and says, but you're not living it. These strongholds are holding you back. You need to destroy them, demolish them, so you can actually be the people God wants you to be. See, it's a battle for hearts. This spiritual battle is a battle for minds. And when you think of the sins we mentioned earlier, like lust and envy, idolatry, anger, you know, we think of criticizing people all the time, other things like greed, pornography. When you think of superstitious beliefs or addictions or wrong thoughts or whatever it might be, anything that consumes our time, our thoughts and our heart and stops us thinking about God and living for God, any of that, says Paul, is the stronghold. A stronghold that stops us being the people God wants us to be. The stronghold that stops us living and rejoicing and being a new creation and living the new life for God. Anything that stops that, that's the stronghold. And that picture again of the castle or the fort, immovable, unbreakable, like a weight around our neck that stops us from being what God wants us to be. But Paul says that's not the way it should be. The church at Corinth were ready to throw in the towel, to turn their back on God, because they let the strongholds stay. They let the strongholds survive and even grow, and it stopped them from following God. It stopped them from being the people God wanted them to be. They just wanted to give up. I wonder today what strongholds may be in our lives. What might be holding us back from actually being the people that God wants us to be? See, these strongholds, Paul says, they're there. For the church at Corinth that were holding them back, turning them away from God, Paul says you need to demolish them. You need to get rid of them. So if we follow Paul's argument, if we defeat lust by holding that thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, we defeat pride by holding the thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, we defeat greed by holding that thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And going on and on, it means that we realize the sin in our life. We realize what it is that is stopping us following God. And we say, God, I don't want this anymore. God, I know your word says this is wrong. This is how you want me to live for you. God, I'm handing it over to you. And the hard part, leave it with God. How often do we go to hand something over to God in prayer, but actually we still hold on to it? We still let it fester in our minds. That's the stronghold still being there. That's the stronghold still holding us back. So how can we win this war? Well, what does Paul tell us? What are these weapons and how can we do it? Well, if this is a battle for our heart, if this is a spiritual battle, is a battle for our minds, how can we protect our mind? How can we go on the attack, in a sense, and demolish the strongholds with our minds and our heart? Well, back to verse 4. The weapons we fight with, they're not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We cannot win this war ourselves. We cannot win the battles ourselves. We cannot do it, says Paul, in our own strength. But God can. And we can do it in his strength. No matter how big the stronghold is in our lives, no matter how long the stronghold's been there, and for some of us, the strongholds that are there might have been there since we were children. But God is the only one, says Paul, that actually has the power to demolish them. Now, when you read something like this, this, I think, should encourage us. He writes this to the church at Corinth to encourage them. Don't throw in the towel. You don't have to give up. You don't have to turn your back on God. Why? Because you have God. You have God's power and access to it to help you destroy the strongholds. But how do we access God's power? When we're talking here about the knowledge of God, we do it through his word. And we do it through prayer. Earlier I mentioned the great chapter in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. Do you remember how to understand the armor? Do you remember how we put it on? We understand it through the word of God and put it on through prayer. In a way, that's exactly what he's saying here. You know, to fight back your weapons, to use God's power to demolish the strongholds in your life, is God's word and prayer. See, we need to know God's word well enough to know the areas of our life that are the strongholds. To know those areas of our life where we are not living God's way and living the way he wants because we're being held back. Whether it's sin, whether it's something else. So we need to be in God's word. We need to know God's word. So reading it in our own quiet times, coming to church, going to different Bible study groups, KYB, those are all great times where we continue to learn from his word. But not just learning from it, but also praying through it. See, when you think about prayer, prayer taps us into this power. Because prayer says, God, I can't do it. God, it's not about me. When I pray, God, it's about you. I need your help. I need you to deal with this situation. See, prayer, in a sense, is not an object itself. It's not a thing that just helps us. It's not like just waving a magic wand. He reminds us of who actually is in control. It's not us. It's God. But also, not just praying, not just knowing God's knowledge, not just praying to ask God to help us to live it out, to help us say no to the strongholds in our life and to help us deal with those strongholds. But I think too, when Paul talks here, he talks about the war that we are in. All Christian brothers and sisters are in this war. See, when you look around this room, we've got lovely Christian brothers and sisters. We're fighting together. We're in this war together. We can help each other deal with these strongholds. Can I encourage you, if you know there is something in your life that is holding you back from being the person God wants you to be, and you've read God's word, you know it, you've been praying through it, but it's still there, challenging you every single day, and you feel like, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to be victorious here. Can I encourage you to stay in the fight? Can I encourage you to have a safe Christian brother or sister that you can talk to and share with them and get them to pray too for you? If you want to come, and many of you do, you get me to help to pray for you as well. Some of our deacons pray for people. Come along on the first Tuesday of the month in the small group, we'll gather and pray. And we are in this together. There are no solo soldiers in this war, and we can help each other. But I think part of the challenge too is to remind ourselves here that with these strongholds, God may bless us and instantly remove the stronghold. We may never face it again. If that happens, praise God. But more often than not, we may have one victory. But then the very next day we get up again and we're in the same battle with the same stronghold. God will be right there with us in that day's battle as well. So we need to realize at times it will constantly be the battle with the same stronghold, whether it's a certain sin, an addiction, or whatever else it might be in life. We have those battles. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Because as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, they have the one certain victory. It's in God's power. God can destroy the strongholds. We're in this war of the worlds. We're in this spiritual war. We're on God's side. The great thing is when Jesus died at the cross and was raised to life 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, he conquered the devil. The devil is ultimately defeated. The war, we know the outcome. We win. But the battle still goes every day. We're still in that fight. And we're in it together. I want to finish today's message, but also finish this series with this saying that you've probably heard before. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, two letters that we have recorded in God's word, challenging them over and over to set their own destiny as God's people. 2,000 odd years later, what destiny are we going to set? What are we going to set for ourselves as God's people? What destiny are we going to set as a church as God's people? The war of the worlds. We're on the winning side. But when we go out that door this morning, how will you, how will I face the strongholds? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that we only stand here as your children because of you. because of what you have done through Jesus. We realize, Lord, we can only say no to sin because of you. Lord, we realize that we can only be the people you want us to be because of you. You have given us your word. You've given us your spirit to help us to live out your word. Father, help us to think about what might those strongholds be in our lives that are holding us back from truly being the new creation, from truly being the new life that you have blessed us with. Father, help us to understand what it is, and then show us through your spirit how we can demolish it. Father, we want to be your people. We want to be a blessing to the world as you have blessed us. As we go out into this week, help us to do that. And we pray for this today in your name. Amen.